good, sometimes we forget the nature of this particular function, the nature of these vital functions. We forget them. We become greedy. Instead of being the dove, we become greedy like the crow. And all we want then is just to survive materially, and we care nothing about the social fabric of life. Right? Yes. So the emphasis is on rib. He made you from the thick liquid that issues from between the loin and the ribs. The emphasis is on ribs. Tarah-ib. It's not on Sunday, it's on Tarah-ib. So that tells us that when this particular area is abused by people who become materialistic instead of community conscious, this area here serves the whole body. The food going to the stomach feeds the whole body. The system that throw out waste serves the whole body. Reproduction is to reproduce the whole body. Not just one member, the whole body. Right? Okay, so when we lose that sense and become too selfish, too materialistic and selfish, then we need to be influenced by the other principle, the rib. The rib. The rib is symbolic of a principle of the heart. The heart is the sensitive area, right? This is the strong area. The heart is the sensitive area. So, we may say we have sensitivities, and in that area there, we have hunger, right? Hunger. You may say that's fire. Hunger, fire. You touch the stomach, it's warm. Heat's in there. All that activity is like the stomach of the earth. And the belly of the earth is fire. You dig down into the earth, you go deep enough, you'll come to the center. And there's nothing but a center of fire. You see? So here is our center here, the fire core. It's a hungry place. But just like fire feeds the universe, fire is feeding us too. You have to keep that fire. You don't want to lose all that fire now. Well, we have to have it at right place. We have to keep ourselves rightly dispositioned as to the dangers in that. All right? Now, when the fire of here, of this, rises, it's heat. If you keep feeding, you get greedy, don't you? You put too much activity down here. It's too much. You've gone beyond the balance point, you see? Too much. You're eating too much. You're drinking too much. You're having too much sex. You're having sex when sex is not even called for. You're working 2 hours to get up an appetite for sex. You just stopped and you ain't got no appetite for sex. Now here you are working 2 hours. Got a penthouse book and a Playboy book and a 16 millimeter funk film, and you and your mate looking at that to try to work up another appetite. Yes! So something done gone wrong. You got too much emphasis in that area. On that area. Okay, so the heat gets too much. Heat gets too much. Now the heat's getting too much. The fire now is coming up, leaping over the heart. Got up in the heart. Fire. Burning out the senses. So now what we need attention to the ribs. Need to get some attention to the ribs. Those principles that protect the vital organs, their heart and lungs. We have to get some attention to that. So that's why the emphasis in the Quran is on ribs. Because when we get in trouble, it's the principles of the heart that will bring this area back to its proper condition. It would put it back in proper condition. If the heart can be awakened. And most of us, if we approach right, if we speak to the real nature of human beings, most human beings respond. I haven't seen it fail. So let's take this off now and go to our notes again. Yes, so last Sunday, that's the balance we wanted to put on the board, you see, to show that diagram that helps us understand society's difficulties. Now let us look to something else. You know, many people, they understand what it is to go to work from 5 to 9. Maybe they understand what it is to go from 8 to 4, I don't know. Or to work 3 shifts. But it seems that very few people in this world, and I mean on high and low, understand what it is to go from 0 to 4. Seems like that's a dark area for most people. Now, let's look at something here. Say this is a tree. Tree has roots, right? Tap root. Root. The higher that tree goes, the bigger its top, the bigger this has to be. Now, if this here is not too much, then this here better not get to be too much. Now, out here in this part of the world, near the desert, you have a lot of the trees. They call them palm trees. And palm trees, you don't, are you enjoying what I'm doing?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. As long as you're interested, we're okay.
Yes, sir.
Palm trees, their branches branch off from every place. They're down here on their trees. When they get up some size, you can't even tell hardly a branch was in this area. In fact, there's no branch in that area. The area where the branches are not, it just extends that area. And it puts its branches up high, right? Without dropping them off. But the palm tree drops off its branches as it goes up. And its branches are really thin. They ain't nothing but leaves. A tree that have branches, leaves for branches. You all got some strange trees out here. Yeah, ain't nothing but a leaf, right? It's a leaf. What you call it? A leaf, yeah, that's what it is. It springs out here, and as they get old, they drop off. They drop off. And the tree keeps going up, right? So it's a tree that goes up on the principle of death. In order for it to go up, another one has to die. Yes. Oh, yes. I know you can see that. And it doesn't branch out much. It branches out like the oak or like some other trees. All of his stuff is right up there.
Right.
So it's got a head, but no arms. Right?
That's right.
It's armless. A head and no arms. Now, I'm going to ask you to think on the picture of the crucifix. The crucifix shows a man. You call him Jesus. I call him a man.
Right.
A flesh body of a male. On the cross with his legs together,
right,
to give the appearance that it ain't two legs, it's one.
Right.
one on top of the other one, nailed on top of the other one, to give the appearance as one. And then the arms are out there, but they're dead. They ain't only dead, they nailed, so if they get life in them, they can't move. Right? Arms are nailed. Feet nailed, one on top of the other one. Like that. And the head got thorns on it. Like a palm tree. Right? Yes. See, some of these palm trees, they have thorns. They have prickly thorns to them, see? So it seems that the crucifixion of Jesus is the regression of society back to the point where he found it. Where did I get that from? The New Testament says that Jesus came triumphantly into the city riding a donkey. And the people came out and met him with palm branches. And they put the palm branches in his path for him to walk on them, showing symbolically that he had conquered the palm tree. And they were submitting their palm tree principle to a new leader. See, our knowledge is nothing, Christ Jesus. Here, walk on it. We throw it down at your feet. And doesn't the book say that the high and mighty shall be cast at his feet? And doesn't that palm tree want to go up high? It doesn't want to branch out. It just want to tower over something. Those that branch out, they want to give something to somebody else. Say, look, can I serve you a bit? I'll throw a branch out there. Don't you like my shade? I got some sweet flowers that blossom in the spring. I'm going to throw a branch out there. Do you like to smell it? Give you beauty. Show you a big beauty. Do you like my beauty? Tree spread out. That palm tree ain't showing no beauty. It ain't giving no shade. It's just going up to the sky. Now this Palm Sunday comes, you Christians, don't you buy no palm branches unless you're going to put them in the aisle and ask your pastor to walk on them. Say, Pastor, trample these palm branches for us. Let him come out and trample them. He should be mad too when he does it. He should. And they got a Palm Sunday and an Easter Sunday. Right? All right. Palm Sunday, you come out in your Easter bunny. The rabbit. Yeah, Palm Sunday, you come out in your Easter bunny. You see? See, the palm tree, its leadership is a rabbit. A rabbi bit down into a rabbit. He ain't got no nerve no more. No courage to fight the evils of society. So he doesn't give any explanations for society to live a better social life. He just go right up into ice kingdom in the sky. You know, the higher you go, the colder it gets. That's how come right here in this warm area we can find mountains with snow and ice on top of them. So you go up too high, you lose the sensitivity. You get from the level of the heart. You go too up far above the warmth of the people. You become ascetic. You become a priest that knows the Lord and the angels up there, but he has forgotten his mother and his father, his sisters, his brothers, his cousins, his friends down here. So he's satisfied with them just coming to talk to him in the clap box. Clap box, I'm not sure what they call that box. I'm sorry if I'm using the wrong name. I'm sorry. I heard it was a clap box. Anyway, he comes there. They come there and sit in the dark, and talk to him through the dark and tell them all about their sins. And he never tell them, say, look, your biggest sin is that you ain't got no dignity, no control, no economic strength in your black neighborhood. Now, don't come back here until you get rid of that sin. He won't tell them that because he has to be law to the palm tree. His business ain't down here. His business is way up yonder. So this is a good lesson for us, isn't it? If this tree is to be big and strong, it has to have equal balance down here. If it want to get bigger up here, it has to get bigger down here.
That's right.
It gets its material substance from down here.
Right?
It feeds on an energy, the energy of a body in the heaven that's material too. The sun is material, just like the earth. But the sun is revealing its essence. It's revealing its essence. The sun is in the process of exploding, unleashing what's in it. And in doing that, it's a hot body, a fire body in the sky. Right? What is this symbolic of? The teacher. The teacher has the knowledge that's down here in this, that grows this body, material body. But it's not enough for this material body to be here. Somebody has to get the energy of that material body. But not in the form of, gas. In the form of understanding. So we have to have an enlightenment. There has to be an enlightenment, right? So the sun represents, it's a symbol for enlightenment on the matter of the universe. And with enlightenment regarding the matter of the universe, we can have production. All right. Well, you don't have to tell me Allahu Akbar. I know it. I know it with every ounce of blood and flesh in my body, brother. Now, let's look at again. Tree again. This time, we're going to start from seed. Seed is dead. Seed comes in the fruit, or it comes on the plant. It falls off, it dies. And it's dead, believe me. The seed is dead. But it has the germ of life in it, right? Though it's dead, it's got the germ of life in it. Now the seed came from a living thing. That was something living, right? Yes, something was living. And the seed came from the living thing. All right. So the seed falls down from the living thing and falls upon the dead earth. And it's dead too. Right? Dead earth and dead seed. But if you got something here of that was once alive, see, it's dead down here, but it has to be something in this that was once alive. So the seed that's dead from a tree or from a plant that was once alive, it has to come to a hatching bed, a reproduction bed, that itself, too, has something in it that was once alive. So you put manure on the land, right? Manure is something that was once alive. It's the death of a body, right? Or you may put grass, that may happen naturally. The leaves and grass and plants and other things and animals that died on earth have made that earth fertile, right? All right. So it's fertile because it has the remains of that was once alive, right? Okay. Now they got us here in America and they left our fertilizer in Africa. And they won't let us have our fertilizer because they know even though we are mentally dead, if we get our fertilizer from Africa, we will live again. Yes. All right. Now, look. This seed falls down. But look, before it fell, what it did, it offered something. It said, eat of me. Right? It said, eat of me. I am fruit. Mm-hmm. Eat of me. And the animals eat, and we eat. And we learn the value of this thing we're eating. And maybe at first, you know, we didn't know the value. Maybe when we first started eating, we would eat and throw the seed away because it wasn't tasty. So we eat the tasty seed, we eat it up now. But in time, we learn that even the tasty seed should be saved. Don't eat them all up. Save some of them because it represents return. Right? It represents renewal. Return. We can have it all over again. Abundantly. So look at the beauty in the sign of the life of the earth. Look how much beauty is there. A plant grows from a dead thing, comes into the light of the sun, breathes the open free air, receives the water, and grows up. Takes strength to grow up. Takes strength. It has to push up through the soil, push down to anchor itself to go up some more. So it's a struggling life, isn't it? Yes, great struggle. It's a struggling life. It's struggling. And its struggling makes it strong. The more it struggles, the stronger it gets. The bigger the tree, the harder it's wood. Right? Yes, although some, you know, the big soft thing. But most of them, if it's a big soft thing, it's growing in easy ground. Those big, strong, hard trees, they can grow in hard ground. The root will turn a boulder upside down. Yes, strong trees, you see? So they can grow in hard ground. So here, you have to have strength, strength. That's what we have to have, strength. And know that the harder you work, the stronger you get. You get strong from using the muscle. Yes, just as that strong tree. Now it grows up and it gets strong, then it bears a fruit or a flower. Some plants give nothing but just a beautiful appearance, right? But some will also give a flower that's more beauty and a nice smell. They give more. And the one that gives the most is the one that bears fruit. If you take and chop off a pound of the lumber, and you eat a pound of the lumbar, you won't get nothing like the amount of nourishment that you'll get from eating just one nut, the fruit of the tree, or one apple, or one pear. Whole lot of that wood ain't gonna give you what a little piece of fruit will give you. So the tree has brought its energy into a fruit. Got more energy for volume than any other part of the tree.
Right.
And it gives that to animals. Animals will eat it. And people. That's sad, isn't it?
Right.
Now that tree is giving the best part of itself in charity so that others will live. So that even another form of life can live. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's given of itself. Even give its life It gives us life. It gives up its future life. The future life is its seed. It gives up its future life. Say, if this will help you survive, eat it. Consume me. Yes. Yeah. Now, do you tell me that the picture of Jesus in the Bible as the Redeemer is more prettier than that picture I just told you? I want you to prove it to me. Prove to me that the picture of Jesus and his sacrifice, or his giving of himself for the world, is any prettier than the picture I'm giving you from a simple tree. Jesus Christ is no new concept. The concept have always been in the workings of life and nature. And they just took it and put it in a man. It ain't nothing but fertility worship. That's all it is. Fertility worship. And they have taken it and put it in Mary Jesus, Mary and Jesus. Peace be upon them. So understand that. And know that we don't need that language. We can speak from a flower, a tree, a plant. We can speak from everything that God has made. And we can give you more understanding and more beauty. Oh, Mr. Why Not Jesus? Don't we want to be like that? Don't we want to be a symbol of that? Don't you think it's nice that man too is a symbol of that charity in the nature of God's world? Surely it's beautiful. But it's wrong when they say that man is a Jew. Or that man is a Caucasian. And then tell every other person, black, brown, yellow, and red people, that they have to come through him in order to get to God. Now that's wrong. And I'll stand here, I'll stand in the White House, I'll stand in the United Nations, I'll stand in China and Russia, I'll stand anywhere on this earth, and I'll tell the priests and the world that that's wrong, and I want them to prove it to me that it's right. That's right. It's detrimental to the minds of all the people, white, brown, yellow, and red. All of us. It's detrimental to our mind and to our health. It's detrimental. It makes the white man a sneak. It makes him a dirty sneak. He gets in that message, it comes to his mind what that image is saying, and he sees the effect of his image on the non-white races, and it makes him a sneak, a dirty sneak. He goes around holding that secret in his heart and thinking himself superior to you and above your head and laugh at you at home in the secrecy of his home. He laughs at you for coming to a church and looking at his image and you saying, oh, thank you, Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus. He laughs at you. If you think I'll tolerate that with my understanding, you got another thought coming. Allah is my witness. I will shed blood in order to remove that thing away from the society. That's right. They say this is a free country. Certainly this is a free country. But this is also a country that claims to stand for what's right. So as long as it claims to stand for what's right, we have the right to demand what's right. We have all kind of patience with these people.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. All kind of patience with these people. But I want to see the preacher that stand up in my face and try to defend that. Especially one from our community.
That's right.
An African American. Right. A black person. I want to see him stand up and try to defend that. And I told the preachers, I said, look, I say, this is not only a religious issue. You can't hold me by the Bible or hold me by the Quran. I know the Quran better than you. I know my rights as a Muslim, and I know my rights as a man. But they don't understand the Quran. So I told them, I said, this is not only a religious issue. This is a rights issue. This is a racial issue, not only a religious issue. Prophet Muhammad, he said to the people, God revealed to Prophet Muhammad to say to the people, I am a free man of this town. He was born a Meccan or Arab, just like they were. He had rights there by birth. All right? Okay. Now, Prophet Muhammad, he didn't go to Rome and tell Rome to get these things out of your church. But in his own land where he was a citizen, he demanded that you get this stuff out of here. Now, this is our neighborhood. This ain't no white man's neighborhood. I'm not speaking of here. I'm talking about South Side Chicago, West Side Chicago, Harlem, West Oakland. I'm talking about wherever we are in a majority. What right does a white image have to be towering over us, purporting to be divine? Huh? No right at all. So I have a human right. I have a right as a citizen of this country to demand that they take white deities out of my sight in my own neighborhood. Certainly I do. Now you want them in your neighborhood, that's your business. We would hope that they'll put them out of every neighborhood, and no black person would want a black one in his name. In fact, we'll do the same thing if the man put a black one in his church. We will protest against that just like we protest against a white one. Because the reversal of that thing is just as evil as the other side of it. That's right. We don't want either. We don't want our people artificial like we were in the Nation of Islam. Black Muslims talking about their black gods and couldn't even manage to wipe their butts clean. White man had to come and help us wipe our butts. And we were claiming that we were gods. What I mean by that, we let corruption come into our Nation of Islam. We let corruption come into the minister's class. We let corruption come into the MGT and the FOI. And the white man had to put pressure on the Nation of Islam to wipe our own butts. And we talking about we are gods. I know both sides of this evil. And I don't want either side. And the Lord is my witness to get it out of our life, I will shed blood if necessary. But I don't think it's necessary. Because any sensible-minded, sane person that hear what we're talking about has to understand it. All right. Didn't want to get on that too long. Sorry. See, a sacrifice. Sacrificing the whole life and giving it for a return, a renewal. That's great. If we hoard knowledge and die with that knowledge, then we are selfish thieves that hid ourselves away so nobody would have what we had again. But if we have knowledge and we share it with those that live, we say, look, I'm gone. I can't live here forever. My life is finished. But here's the plan. Take it. You all keep going. That's how we have to become. Poor people. Grassroots, as they call us. We have to become like that. We have to search and find great knowledge and great wisdom for establishing society strong. And then we have to rush. We have to be desperate to hurry up and find another person that we can trust that with. So here, take it. Keep the world going. Don't want credit for it. The tree doesn't say nothing, doesn't make no big noise when it gives you its seeds. It's still silent. What? Yeah, it's still just as quiet as it was. In fact, it's quieter. But when it branches out with all of its branches and all of its leaves, The wind blowing and you can hear it, making a lot of noise. The leaves rattling, right? Leaves clapping. But when fall time comes, the branches get heavy with fruit. And the wind can't shake them as much. So there's less noise, right? Yeah. When the branch is lighter, it makes a lot of noise. But when the branch gets heavier, it holds the branch. The wind comes, and it might move like that, but it ain't doing a whole lot of vibrating. It gets quieter, and it drops its life and feeds it into the dead world. Right? Now, seed, from the seed, we get a plant. Plant. What is this suggesting? Seed. That it takes to start life over again. Then plant. Plant means to put in the earth, right? To expect growth. Put in the earth to expect growth. Plant also means to hide. Like you plant something. You plant a seed, or plant a bad seed. You're hiding it so they can grow outside of the view or sight of the people, right? So plant has many meanings. But in plant, don't we have this word? Just take the last letter off and you got plan. Get the knowledge, then plan. Take the knowledge and come up with a plan. You have to have a concept. You have to have a plan. You plan, then what you get? Growth. Right? Growth. Growth. So we have plant, and we have growth. And from growth, we have what? Fruit. It's a fruit-bearing tree. Fruit. Fruit for feeding, and in the fruit is contained also the seed for reproduction, right? So, that's beautiful, isn't it? Yes. All right. Let us live like that. Think like that. Live like that. What does Jesus say? Woe be unto you if I return and you haven't borne fruit. Right? He charged them to bear fruit. Tell me, where is the fruit that this world has borne among us? Huh? Where is the fruit that they have borne among us? If you got fruit, you can do what they're doing. Once I get the fruit that contains the seed, I can match what the others did. Now, I want to know, where is the fruit among the Negroes? Jesus charged them. They claim that that Jesus is their leader, that Christ their Lord. Jesus charged them to bear fruit. Now, I'm asking, where are the fruit that they have borne for my people? Huh? If those pastors got the fruit that Jesus left, how come they're not showing the same ingenuity and the same productive power that I see in the white Irish?
That's right. That's right.
In the white Italian.
That's right. That's right.
In the white Jew.
That's right. That's right.
Huh? In the white Hispanic.
That's right. That's right.
Mexico, look at
that's right.
Look at them.
That's right.
They sustain themselves.
That's right.
They know how to run a society.
Right.
Mister, are you saying that we have to have a nation of our own in order to prove our ability, our worth? No, I'm not. The Irish that live here, they ain't got no separate nation.
That's right. Yeah.
They live here. They are part of this whole society.
Right. Right.
Complementary part of this society.
Yeah.
But they run banks.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
You don't find no Negroes in their neighborhood running their neighborhoods. You don't find no Negroes in their neighborhood pressing their clothes and selling them clothes and feeding them and collecting their rent and running their lives.
That's right.
But in our neighborhoods on the south side of Chicago, you find white folks on the south side of Chicago. They represent the vital forces and life arteries of the south side of Chicago. They represent it on the west side where we are. They feed us, they clothe us, they protect us, they police us, they do everything for us. We don't have nothing of our own but a right just to stay there and be the consumers. That's right. So, if they have really done what Jesus said, he charged them to bear fruit. Now, if you brought that Bible in my African country or gave it to me, mister, then I say, well, how come you didn't live up to the promise that you made to Jesus Christ? How come you haven't given me the same knowledge that have established you?
That's right.
Believe me, they have kept away from us the knowledge that established them.
That's right.
And they don't intend for you ever to get it.
That's right.
Yes, Allah has brought it to us. And we don't need them anymore.
That's right.
They can turn out all the lights.
Right.
They can close down the White House.
Right.
Close down the federal department.
Right.
They can close down the city. Close down the state. They can close it all down and go to bed or go to hell. And we will still be here. We'll build it up again.
Right.
That's how much we need them. And if you don't believe it, just stick with me and do what I say.
Right.
Stick with me and follow my direction. And you will see that we don't need them.
Right.
In fact, they might be coming to us saying we need you all.
That's right.
It happened before.
That's right.
It's history.
That's right.
This religion went into Africa.
Right.
And in a few centuries, Timbuktu, an African place in Africa, became so high in the sciences that the people that brought them the sciences came to them for sciences. This is a fact of history. The Arabs that brought the sciences to the Africans then came to the Africans for the sciences. Because those Africans' minds became so active. They were turned on. They were so thirsty for understanding. They became so energetic that they became greater producers and greater men in the sciences than the people who had introduced them to this religion. Now, I know many of you say all that nigga just talking. But already, big people. When I say big people, I mean people that are responsible for many important activities of their own land and country. People in the high quarter of the power. They have told me, Brother Imam, one day we'll have to have you come to our land and do the same thing you're doing in America. They have told me that. I'm not a man that wants any intention on me. If they had said that to some of you so-called Negroes, you'd have been on television.
That's right.
Yes. Mr. So-and-so-and-so of the so-and-so-and-so cabinet. In such and such country, said that they want me to come over there and do the same work I'm doing here in their country. Well, I'm going to get around to them. I'm pretty busy now. Yeah, it was showing off. Didn't no one person tell me this. I've been told this by several people and from several countries. That, Brother Imam, the same thing you are doing in America.